Attention, everybody. Dwight has something he would like to say.
Due to a recent incident involving Phyllis, a man, a map, and his penis, I think you know what I'm referring to. Michael has authorized me to form an emergency anti-flashing task force.
How many times do you think they've said penis in this episode, Micah?
Oh, no. Did you count like we counted? What was the episode we did before? Was it urine?
Yeah, that one counted. Someone on one of the Dunderpedias counted, but I didn't count. But it's a lot.
No one counted the penises?
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's more than one would expect from a show, for sure. Because
definitely more than 10, I'm sure.
More than 10 penises, absolutely. In fact, you know, I think we talked about this when we talked about the urine show. A while back, I did a show with Christina Warren. We did a show about cartoons, and we had the head writer and the voice of a cartoon character on Cartoon Network on. And one of the things that he talked about was how they had to do these like content meetings where the lawyers and like the content specialists would come in and they'd go over the script and they'd have to cut things out. And of course, for a children's show, there are going to be much harsher rules. But if I remember correctly, it was the word fart, and they had to cut, they had like 12 mentions of fart, and they had to cut out some of the farts. And he talked about these very official fart meetings. And so I imagine that there were some very official penis meetings that took place here where there may have been more occurrences of this word. And they had to cut back a little bit, but hopefully not as much as, you know, a show that's running for kids.
Yeah, I'm not seeing any notable counts of how many times they've said it.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably good that there's not a count, because you have to think about, so this is season 3, episode 21, and it's called Women's Appreciation. Mm-hmm. And so it is, I suppose, humor in and of itself, in the office's way, that that word would be used so many times in an episode called Women's Appreciation. This is, I think, you know, Michael kind of at his worst and trying to undo his worst after his worst has already taken place.
See, that's the thing, though. In this episode, he tries to undo it. We've been seeing Michael now slowly evolving and noticing some of the stuff that he says. Like, he went off the rails making fun of Phyllis and Toby. Mm-hmm. And then he takes it back.
You know, as that was coming out of my mouth, I knew that it was wrong.
And it's like, I don't think we would have seen that from the Michael in the first two seasons. And this late in season 3, we're seeing him have his basic Michael instincts at play here, but he's fighting against them. And he spends the rest of the episode in ignorance fighting against it, but still trying his best to rectify the situation and to dial back his Michaelness.
If he had ended it at the laughter, that was already kind of like, oh, golly, Michael, please stop. But when he decides to unzip his pants and stick his finger through the fly, that's whenever I was like, this is such old school Michael to me. You know what I mean? Like, that
yep.
is
oh, yeah.
that's so far. And yes, he tries to correct it, but I was kind of just like, I'm a little disappointed in you, Michael.
That's something he would do with Packer, right? Like,
yes.
That's exactly
it's
the type
of... It's a Todd Packer move. It's mm-hmm. It's a Packer patent. And I wonder, Tiff, this was sort of a theory that I was developing, so to speak. Do you think that... So he is obviously in a relationship with Jan, and if you think about that relationship with Jan and how much Jan sort of like keeps him in a box and makes him walk the straight and narrow path, I wonder if this is sort of the only time that he feels kind of free is at work. And so he just kind of took things a little too far. Like, you know, he goes home and he has to sort of do these very specific things. And so this is why it's so extreme, because I think like Michael pre-Jan and that relationship, but post, you know, him sort of learning to be a better person, I just don't see him going as far as he did this time. But it's just like, you know, I'm taking a joke and I'm running with it, and I don't know what I'm doing anymore, but no one's here to stop me. And he just runs all that way with it. And like, the cameras are on him. It's all sort of Michael playing to the max. And to me, maybe I'm just like, I just expected better of him. And so that's, I'm trying to come up with something.
He started off better too, because the initial hearing of the news that Phyllis got flashed in this episode, he has that moment of like, oh my gosh, is she okay? That's the first thing he says, which is an appropriate reaction. And then he starts thinking about it too much and starts using it as a comedy bit, and everyone is not reacting well to it. And that's when he eventually kind of reads the room a little bit more and does that big insult to Toby and is just like, never mind, I'm sorry. Like, he takes it back. He gets in the confessional and he takes it back. I think he's also, we see a weird glimpse into his and Jan's relationship.
Oh boy.
And we're seeing Jan putting Michael into a sexually uncomfortable situation, just like Michael does oftentimes to the people in the office. I mean, it's different that it's a relationship and Michael does it in jokes, but it's still that kind of uncomfortable, I'm not okay with this, borderline harassment or out and out harassment situation. And it's, I like that we see in this episode, we see Michael kind of doing it to people in the office and apologizing, and we see Jan doing it to Michael and then apologizing, and like everyone kind of rectifying this. I think this is like a turning point for Michael in his perception of this kind of stuff, and I'm really interested to analyze the episodes going forward and seeing how far Michael goes with these kind of jokes. Like, if he still does them, if they're much lower level kind of thing, like, is this the peak of his like just ignorant, misogynistic sometimes jokes to everybody? I don't know. Like, so I'm excited to really dive into that and analyze it the way we do on the show.
Yeah. I think this is a good sort of, is this the zenith kind of point?
Yeah.
And I mean, there's so much to analyze too, I think, with just the dynamic that obviously he has with Jan and where they are, and, you know, respecting of disrespecting boundaries. Mm-hmm. This is also, at this point, Jan is not afraid to sort of just say the thing she wants to say, because we'll remember it wasn't too long ago that almost every time she got on the phone with Michael, she asked, are there cameras there? Are there cameras in the room? Mm-hmm. Is someone listening? And now I don't know if it's just that we don't see that happen, or if she's just kind of in the no craps given stage.
I think it's that one.
Yeah,
absolutely.
She's just on it and like, I'm just going to say what I want to say, which she's basically propositioning her partner for stuff. And it's quite wild. And that is a whole nother level of Jan that we haven't seen before. I mean, to this extent, I guess. This is like the first laying out of it.
She's very much the aggressor here. And I think she's probably less inclined to worry about the cameras because she's saying it in front of her assistant Hunter, right? Like, there's already this, I'm just going to let it all out. Like, I can't believe I'm openly dating Michael Scott, which it came up in the cocktails episode. Mm-hmm. And I feel like she's just like, well, there it all goes. It's just out there, and I'm going to be the aggressive person that we are. And we're seeing Jan becoming more aggressive, and we're seeing actually the very sweet, caring side of Michael, mm-hmm. that he isn't like that. He's not a giant misogynist, aggressive in
he just wants the ketchup fights, you know?
He does. He just wants to cuddle and
tickling.
That's all he really wants. And I think I like seeing that really soft domestic side of Michael, where he just wants a good, healthy relationship. And he's obviously not finding that in Jan. And I love the part. I mean, okay. So in this episode, there's tons of funny, wonderful things that happen, but I do love that when the women are talking to him in the food court, that they get him to open up about the relationship, and they're actually all like helping him,
yes,
and giving him
real,
really good advice. Mm-hmm. And we see that wonderful duality between Pam and Karen,
Pam,
right?
And Karen, it's like, are having a conversation. It's very meta.
Yes.
We know that they're talking about Jim while they're also talking to Michael about Jan. And so it's Jim and Jan and Jan and Jam. And it's all just jammed in there with Karen and Pam. Like, what? Karen, Pam, Jan, Jim? Yeah. What?
Most relationships have their rough patches. You just have to push through it sometimes.
Yeah, that's smart.
Maybe. But it sounds like you're just wrong for each other.
That sounds good, too.
I don't know who's right.
Oh, it's just a big, beautiful, dramatic mess. And the looks that they're giving each other back and forth.
Oh, the little looks that the camera's catching. It's so telling and so good.
I want someone to look over at while I'm watching this episode and be like, can you believe? You know what I mean? Because it's like, oh, there's so much happening. And they're both talking about this separate thing. And, oh, you know that they're talking about the... it's so good. Mwah, chef's kiss.
Yeah, we are getting a lot more Pam being honest, just like she said that she wanted to be. She changes the tire.
You know, I changed a tire today. All by myself.
Heck yeah.
Which is showing something amazing about her. Like, she just kind of took that on herself. She was like, I can do this. And it's Pam saying, like, I can take care of myself. She's standing up to help out Michael and be like, you're in a bad relationship, because she's coming from somewhere that she was in a bad relationship. And you have to recognize that. And sometimes that takes time or someone helping you out to say, like, this isn't right. And that's okay. I think that that's why Pam's advice is really extra helpful here, because she came from a relationship that wasn't right and that was okay. And her in that confessional in the beginning about Jim and
I am saying a lot of things.
That's a quote that I absolutely love. I use that one a lot. It's just, I really like the changes we're seeing in Pam in this episode, and we've been seeing them, we keep mentioning them sprinkled throughout, and it's this nice gradual building of courage in Pam. And that's something that Michael says in this episode too, when he's wishing for all of the things for the women in the office, and he says, I wish Pam to have courage.
I wished for Phyllis a plasma TV. I wished for Pam to gain courage.
And that's exactly what she is gaining. And I really look forward to the next episode in Beach Games, where we kind of see the top of the mountain for Pam in that. So look forward to that. And I think that thinking about this episode and the one before and all the things that Pam, the building blocks that Pam has actually been using to build up her courage, and seeing how Pam is changing, it's been really great to watch and focus on. Because I think in previous watch throughs, I've seen the beginning of Pam and then I've seen the end of Pam. And I was like, oh, wow, that feels really different. And I really am enjoying analyzing how she got there.
When we think about, you know, Karen this whole time has kind of been, we in the past had talked about and, you know, sort of asked for feedback from our listeners, and everybody was kind of like, yeah, Karen's being aggressive when she sort of follows up with Pam about, because Pam says sorry, and then Karen's like, what are you sorry about? And I had argued that that was just like a very alien thing to do. And I'm like, what planet are you from, Karen Filippelli? But you had argued, no, she's just being aggressive, like being assertive and forthright. And a lot of our listeners agreed with that as well. You know, Karen has had this kind of ability to walk in a room with Pam in it, and Pam used to sort of cower a little bit. You know, you felt that kind of step back. She wasn't as quick. Like, she was much quicker to like make friends or agree with Karen or try not to have any, you know, disagreements or friction. And now it is just Pam doing her thing. And if it happens to cause friction, then it happens to cause friction. She's not thinking about that as a factor. So I think that in the end, it just makes for a healthier, you know, Pam for herself. It has nothing to do with anybody else. Just mm-hmm. Pam for herself is doing such a great job. And it so happens that, you know, some of that Jim sees and you know, we'll talk about sort of her little prank on Dwight, and there's the part where he sees that drawing on the fridge.
I love that part.
He's like, oh, that's cool.
We can talk about that now. Yeah, let's talk about it. I mean, I was going to mention before we talk about that drawing, but like, Karen is fighting for her relationship with Jim. You know, like, she is trying to make it work, and I think she really likes Jim. Like, their relationship, she's very happy, but she is in contention with this woman that Jim was in love with, and it still is, right? But it's like, she's put in, I feel bad for Karen, because she's put into this situation where she could be really happy if Jim never went back with Pam. And I kind of feel, I understand where the aggression a little bit, or the resentment towards Pam is coming from, because right now it's like, it's just a lot of tension between the two of them. And at first, and they try and work together. And I think that that's another part of the tension, is that they would be friends, you know, they would really like each other. I don't see that there being any personality problems between them. It's just Jim that's between them right now. But yeah, when Jim reacts to that drawing, it's so good.
That is pretty cool.
That's old school. This is what they appreciate about each other. This, you know, they don't have to be in the same room. It's just like, he knows where that came from. He knows mm-hmm. what happened, and he just appreciates it.
She went and did a prank all on her own. Like, yes. She didn't collaborate with him. She wasn't doing anything. And I think this is the first time that Jim is seeing Pam's solo pranking, because he missed it while he was in Stanford, right? Pam continued and still did some, you know, little things to Dwight here and there. But this is him recognizing something that she just kind of did independently, without eye contact with him, without an alley-oop, without a, here, I stole Andy's cell phone. You know, like, usually they're doing this stuff together, and she went and did this on her own. And he looks at that and is like, that is so funny and awesome. And I love that. And the phone number on there was real for a long time. I did some research on this. You could have actually called up the phone number on the flyer. Mm-hmm. And it had a whole thing about Dwight and the anti-flashing task force. The voicemail on it would read, "Hi, you have reached Dwight K. Schrute, commander of the Lackawanna County Anti-Flashing Task Force and assistant regional manager of Dunder Mifflin. If you have any information leading to the capture and or castration of this pervert, press 1. If this is the flasher," adopting the tone of a therapist, "let's talk. You need a friend right now, and I can help you. Just tell me where you want to meet, and I promise to help you with whatever it is you need." Normal voice. "Thank you, and have a nice day. Oh, and if you are inquiring about any of the paper products and would like a catalog, please press 2. Finally, if anyone, not the flasher, is interested in a kick-ass 1985 maroon Firebird, I could be persuaded to sell mine. Please press 1 for that, too."
Oh, my Lord.
I couldn't find a recording anywhere. So if anyone out there is listening and knows how to find a recording of this, I would absolutely love to hear it. I'm sure mm-hmm. Micah would absolutely love to hear it. And we would love to play it for people on the show, because it just sounds awesome. I was searching YouTube. I was searching Reddit. I could not find, like, who would have, like, yes, I'm sure a whole bunch of people called this number, and someone would have had to record it. Like, come on.
Do we know what the number does now?
I called it. Uh-huh. And right now it's kind of like a medical alert company that asks you if you're like 50 years or older or younger than 50. And then you press like yes or no on the number, which I did, because I'm like, I already called. And then they're like, you could qualify for some medical alert bracelet stuff. And I'm like, this... it's so disappointing. I wish it were still working. So, yeah, if anyone can find that recording, that would be stellar. You would win a Dundee for that.
Hands down, Dundee.
Yeah, it's instant Dundee.
Instant Dundee.
Oh, man. Private Investigator Award, Dundee.
I want to hear it so bad.
So for now, you'll have to endure my dramatic reading. But yeah, there's such good pranking in this episode. There's some really wonderful little insights into people. I love Creed. It's so embarrassing.
Yeah, this whole time, Creed is just going on this rant about how none of this is flashing.
If that's flashing, then lock me up.
Yeah, Creed, you probably do need to be locked up, buddy. But this is just one of your multiple things for which you should be locked up. Oh, my. It's like, Creed, do you not know you're talking to a camera? Come on, bud.
He doesn't. He has no concept of anything that's going on around him. And that's what makes us love Creed.
Yes.
Dwight's memo is really good.
"Women will be sent home if they wear makeup or heels exceeding 1/4 inch. Females are not allowed to speak to strangers unless given written authorization by Dwight Schrute." This is ridiculous.
I like him broomsticking the hedges, too.
And he's using the same broom that he used in the business school when he thinks that Jim turned into a vampire.
Yes. Yes, I'm glad that you noticed that. And I hope other people were like, huh, that looks familiar.
Yeah,
yes.
I love bringing back props, that the idea that this kind of stuff just kind of hovers and stays around the office. I love all those little background things, like Kelly dancing to Michael's ringtone in Meredith's van. You could see it very much off camera, but she's dancing to it. It's very good.
When Michael is, you know, first sort of talking about the flashing that's going on and accuses Toby of being a flasher and all that kind of stuff, you can see Jim in the background barely being able to hold it together. And whether that's, you know, the character or that's in real life, it works either way. But he's got his hand over his mouth, like trying to look shocked, but he's like vibrating with giggles behind that laughter. And his face is turning red. I like when Michael is, you know, running this women's appreciation seminar.
I know the crap out of women.
That's such a good quote.
And he says issues instead of issues. And it, like, that's another Michael feels that he can sort of add legitimacy to the things that he's saying by making them sound so, like, uppity or something. And so it's not just like women's troubles and issues. It's issues.
Issues.
And it's just ridiculous, but it's so fun. And then also, I mean, one of my favorite things, and insert soundbite here, but R-E-S-P-S-P-T. Find out what it means to me.
Look, it's really simple. We just want you guys to treat us with respect.
See? That's what we're talking about. Did you hear that, Dwight?
Yes. Did you hear that, Michael?
No, Dwight. Respect. R-E-S-P-S-P-T. Find out what it means to me.
I couldn't even type that out when I wanted to write our notes.
How do you write?
I listened to it like six times, and you can't type R-E-S-P-S-P-T.
Those are such brilliant moments, because it's bizarre and ridiculous that Michael can't spell a simple word like that. But when you think about, like, if he's listening to the song, mm-hmm. like, there are people who do that. I've done that with songs where I hear it completely different.
Yeah, you hear a lyric and you mishear what the lyric actually is, and then that's just burned in your brain forever, right? Like,
it's trying to say or what.
So I totally understand.
You can almost picture Michael Scott, you know, really getting into the song, and he's singing it, and that's how he sings it. And R-E-S-P-S-P-T, find out what it means to me. Oh, so funny.
And this episode is kind of the birth of one of my favorite little things that I always use, the good idea folder, right?
Yes.
Hey, we should have a calendar printed up, Pam. Put that in my good idea folder.
Or did that come up before? But it's very clear in this episode. I love that we have it in our document that we share. The good idea folder is always up there. I have good idea folders in my iPhone notes app.
Oh, nice.
I love having a good idea folder because it's actually really useful. Sometimes you need a folder for your good ideas.
Pop that bad boy open and you have something new to, you know, new to discuss.
We have a lot of little auxiliary character side treks here. We have Meredith's driving.
Oh, yes. I was just about to remark on that. Part where she's just scraping her way into the spot.
Oh, it's so painful. So painful.
I'm like gritting my teeth.
She's going to make it.
We have Kevin going to explore the women's bathroom. And then I love that little side plot of the women are all off at the mall because Michael takes them there because, you know, it's not as it's much more feminine place for him to interact with the women instead of the masculine office. Eye roll, as Karen does.
And they all eye roll. Yeah, they all eye roll too. But then they're also kind of like, actually, I could be here.
I mean, yeah. Like, let's make the best out of this, right? Let's,
I don't have to.
What
be
do you,
the works.
You make some lemonade out of some lemons, right?
There you go. Yeah.
But so while the ladies are away, the boys do play in the women's bathroom.
What the heck?
I love that Kevin goes in there, and I love that he mistakes the fantasy for the women's locker room, as Jim explains.
It's every guy's fantasy.
I think you mean a girl's locker room, and in the fantasy, there's usually girls in it.
And it turns out the ladies' room is awesome, and they all hang out in there.
Oh my God.
And the only two people that are not in the bathroom are Dwight and Andy. And we have them kind of distributing the flyers that Pam drew up of the sex predator. And we are seeing Dwight put Andy into kind of an underling situation, almost making him pay penance for how he has been previously.
That's because you're a preppy freak. You're the office pariah and nobody likes you. So start hanging these all around the building.
So he says this rude thing to Andy, and Andy looks at the flyer and totally notices that it's a picture of Dwight, like completely sees it, has a little tiniest little recognition and smirk about it, and continues hanging up those flyers, and he says nothing. And I love that we're seeing an Andy kind of fitting into his own here in the office. He doesn't need to overact in this moment. And I think we're seeing a more of a real Andy in this episode, where he says some silly things. So he is quite a character still, like, I'm going to go check the web.
I'll check the web.
But right. And he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how to help. But we're seeing him not trying so hard anymore.
Yes, yes, yes. I think he feels like he does have a place a little bit more, maybe than he did in the past. And it works for him because he chills out and he can like pull one over on Dwight and let Dwight look the fool.
He just lets him go. And he's like, this is just taking care of itself, isn't it? And he's playing it totally cool. And this Andy in this episode really makes me think of the much later episode Andy's. And it makes me smile a little bit. And it makes me feel like, all right, just like the building of Pam, just like the changing of Michael, we're seeing these characters evolve and develop or become more comfortable being in front of the camera. All the various reasons we've excused their development, but we're seeing the beginning of this in Andy, where he is starting to not take on the whole drama of personality mirroring and I need to fit in and I need to be the number one. I need to have all the attention. That's just Andy, like what we saw today. And it feels more normal and relaxed.
It does. And two, I think he's finally realizing that he doesn't have to be a tryhard because almost no one there is a tryhard except, you know, for Dwight pretty much. And so I think that he's coming to understand just in general that he can coast along with everybody else. And he ends up not being as great a business person, but
he's terrible at his job.
He's very bad at his job. But like, that's proof too, is that even whenever he's just kind of like laying back a little bit, he still gets to keep his job. So he doesn't need to go all out, where it seems like in every situation, he's like Survivor Man almost, where it's like he gets dropped in a helicopter at every new job and he's just like pulling out the knives and ready to fight and he's full of adrenaline. And it's like, I've got to do personality mirroring and I've got to do this and I've got to do that and get the chlorine tablets into the water immediately. And now he's like, oh no, I don't have to be Survivor Man. I could just kind of chill out a little bit. And so it's taken some ease off of his, more annoying aspects of his personality.
Before we end today, we definitely need to talk about Michael breaking up with Jan over the message, which is so Michael, the women tell him, no, don't, Michael, please don't. Like, don't do it.
I'm getting her voicemail.
Don't leave him.
Hey, Jan, it's me, Michael. I'm just calling to say that I think we need a little break permanently. And I know everybody says this, but I want to remain friends, or at least business associates who get along. Oh, just so you know, it's not me, it's you.
Oh, but he does anyway, leaves the most epic voicemail. I love that he mistakes the, it's not me, it's you. Because that's what everyone really wants to say when they say that.
Right. Yeah, we know what they really mean.
We get the painful duality of situation. Oh, it's just one of those miscommunication, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that these forces just aligned. And Jan walks in and gives this apology to Michael, even though I don't feel like she's apologizing as in she is changing long term.
Right.
But I do feel that it was really genuine and great of her to have apologized for what happened. And that's what, and again, I don't think it was wrong for Michael to break up with her, but
the way that he did it was not good.
It all went bad. And then she checks the voicemail and hears it and storms out. And
yeah,
which I think she should have, like, she doesn't say anything. Cause what could she say to that? It's like, I would also walk out. She just drove all this way here. She's totally burned. Like, it's a whole thing. But I have so many mixed feelings.
Yeah. Because, like, I want to double down on what you're saying. It's a big move for Jan to not only, like, recognize that, you know, she doesn't feel right about the way the situation was handled, but to go as far as to, you know, drive all the way there and apologize in person. And that's, like, in this situation, that's why it's doubly kind of cringy, is that Jan drove to apologize, but Michael's leaving a voicemail to break up. And so it just adds to the cringe of, like, oh my God, do you realize how bad you are right now? Like, she's here in person and you're leaving her a voicemail. That's, I mean, it's just as bad as texting a breakup, essentially.
You're so right.
But it's brilliant. The cringe is brilliant.
But that's the thing, like, this show, with all the comedy aspects involved, with jokes like shedding more light on the penises in this episode, which is my favorite. You can use it in so many situations. You really can.
Interesting.
And then you get this really real dynamic and exchange between people that gives you a whole bunch of, it feel like it just connects you with these characters, and it reinforces that whole thought that this could be real. And I love that. It's that's why this show is just so good. It's so funny. It's so good. Micah, I just can't even express. I mean, this is why we do this show, right? Because as we're rewatching, it just makes me fall in love with it deeper and deeper. And this show is my soup snake. Like, it is just wonderful.
Dunder Mifflin Paper / Sex Predator Hotline. This is Dwight Schrute.
To close out this episode, Jim calls up Dwight as a tipster on his anti-flashing task force.
Yes, so it's time finally to reveal.
I have information about the Zach Predator. I saw him 2 minutes ago.
Where?
In the women's bathroom above the sink.
It directs him to the bathroom, which I always found a little bit troubling that Dwight is just like in the bathroom over the sink. Like, why would someone be over there? Right.
Yeah,
like,
it's a bit of a stretch for sure.
Yeah, it's a little contrived, but I still love the reveal and how Dwight puts himself with that little painted mustache and he yells, that yelling of Pam is what makes me forgive the weirdness of the reveal, because it's so good.
There's no above the bathroom thing that makes sense. I mean, like, so if we wanted to, we could, in theory, take this as far as I could see Dwight and his brain taking it, which is that when I was younger, I used to get these little spy kits every month. I was subscribed to this little spy box thing, but it came with like a little magazine, and in it were some tips. And one of the tips in it was how to tell if a mirror is a one-sided mirror. And you, like, put your finger up to it, and if there's no space between the reflection of your finger and your actual finger, then it's a one-sided mirror, meaning that someone's able to see through. And if there is a space, then it's a normal mirror and you're okay. So, like, in that situation, if we wanted to take it that far, I could see Dwight potentially thinking that, like, this pervert actually has made a one-sided mirror in the bathroom so that he can creepy peek on the people that are using the restroom. But that's such a stretch.
I would not put that past Dwight. I think that it's a good stretch, though. Like, because I could see, that's where I could see, like, Dwight's brain going. I totally agree with you. It's probably not, but yeah, you're right. It's one of those little extra things.
There's your pass, producers of the show. He thinks that somebody's peeking through a one-sided mirror.
Yeah, that could have just been one line of cut dialogue. Like, that's how we excuse most things in movies. It's just like, that's one line of dialogue. Can fix that.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Is there anything else in this episode that you want to mention before we give out our Dundee?
The thing that I wanted to mention was how, at the end, Michael still has a lot of work to do, because he gives this little sort of, you know, one of his monologues about how at the end of episodes, sometimes he will say these things, and sometimes they're good, and you're like, yes, Michael, you learned something. But in this one, he basically says that what he learned from women was to be flighty, emotional, and all these other things. And so it's like, Michael, you still got some work to do, buddy. But I also know that you are dealing with an abusive relationship right now, so I'm giving you just, like, a little bit of an understanding.
You mean, how can I be so illogical and flighty and unpredictable and emotional? Well, maybe I learned something from women after all.
Oh, Michael. How many times did we say that?
Too many times. All right, I guess that'll do it.
It's Dundee and announcement time. So hang on after this, Dundee, because we got a special announcement.
I'm so pumped.
So Dundee first.
All right. This week's Dundee, we're calling it the Ben Franklin Scholastic Speakers Award. And this one goes to Kaylee Brown, that's Avada Kedavra on Twitter, for her The Office-themed bridal shower.
Oh my gosh. Hold on. I just want to say, I want to get married again to have this bridal shower. Continue.
It's incredible. So we'll include, of course, links. There is a Facebook post that has a bunch of fun photos of this bridal shower. And first of all, the Dwight creepy photo is, you know, that Pam drew for this episode that we're talking about today is in it. It's on the table. There are these wonderful cookies. Tiff, you said there are Serenity by Jan candles.
Yes, Serenity by Jan candles. Instead of flower bouquets on the tables, they're jars of beets and all the greens coming out of it with like some baby's breath and stuff to make it a little bit bridal. Oh my gosh, it's so wonderful. There's no Toby signs all over the place.
The balloons are half filled.
It says, "It is your bridal shower," in that long white strip of paper and like the block typeface with just the period after it. It is down to
attention to detail, man.
Fantastic detail. Little signs everywhere. We even have an appearance of the sex pervert sign. So it's absolutely perfect. I want to go to this bridal shower.
I want to go to this bridal shower. I want to like shake the hands of the people who put this bridal shower together. Thank you, Kaylee Brown, for reaching out and sharing this awesomeness with us. We're so jealous. I'm so jealous. Tiff is jealous. We're all jealous.
And Ben Franklin's a creep.
And Ben Franklin's a bit of a creep. So Kaylee Brown, and honestly, please do share this Dundee with the party planners. But get on up here and accept your Dundee. Brava, bravissimo.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay, Tiff, you get to tell us about a super exciting announcement.
All right, here it comes. We are doing a special, incomparable, members-only special trivia night of The Office. It is going to be on Friday, March 22nd at 8:30 Eastern Time. We'll post all the different times for everyone to know when we post about this on Twitter. But we are playing trivia. We will have Team Incomparable, Team Relay, and team members. So we are actually going to have the members that are part of the Incomparable play along with us on their own team, answering their own questions. Micah and I are going to be your hosts, and we are going to see who's the most knowledgeable about The Office. Mm. And I am so excited to pull this off. It is the first time anyone on the network has incorporated players on a game show style show with the members. So we're going to, hopefully this will be our test run and it'll be awesome. So if you are available and you have access to the members only feed in our Slack, you'll have access to the Slack room. And in there, we will set up a special trivia night room and everyone will be able to play together. So make sure you show up and sign up for membership. And if you aren't able to actually play March 22nd at 8:30 Eastern, then you can definitely have access to the feed of the show that we publish after we play. So get on over there and make sure you sign up.
There's a $5 a month subscription. There's a $10 a month subscription. There's a $20 a month subscription. You can also do those per year. You get access to special members only podcasts like the one that mm-hmm. we're working on. So no matter when you sign up, you're going to get access to all of those that get put in the feed because you're going to get access to the whole podcast feed by becoming a member. So that's going to include commentary tracks. There's going to be exclusive Total Party Kill games if you're into that. Plenty of stuff there, but you're also going to get access to the bootleg podcast feed. So like we talked about, some of the shows will immediately post an unedited version of the show into the feed. So if you want to get it immediately and not wait for the pretty edited version, then some of the shows post for that. You also get access to the Total Party Kill video podcast. So if you want to watch these fine folks play different, including yours truly, play Dungeons and Dragons, then you can do that. And then the members only Slack community. So mm-hmm. that way you can hop in and join other members that are subscribed, as well as all of us. So those things happen. And then with each of the membership tiers, you'll also get some other fun stuff. So definitely go. Well, there's a link in the show notes, so you can go and check that out. You know, it's not just subscribing for the potential to play in this trivia game, although that is an awesome thing, like super awesome. But you also get a bunch of other stuff too on top of that. So definitely check that out and consider becoming a member so you can join us for that. Okay, I'm done now, Tiff. What are we talking about next week?
Next week, we are talking about an on-location beach games.
Attention, I am removing all bananas from the kitchen.